welcome to the program to discuss. The host and analyst for Soccer Central, James Sharman, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, James.
How you doing, fellas? What great day it is.
Yeah, well, now, what do you do? Because I was saying this earlier, I as well am a Brit, born in London, England, and as a matter of fact, a beautiful area named Barking, or Barking Side, if you will. And you know, I watched that game yesterday because I'm Twitter, and I'm sitting there doing some work, and I see that there's been two goals scored in 6 minutes in the Iceland-England game. And I think, I'm going to cheer for jolly old and turn this game on and give it some attention. And as much as I really wanted England to win, and I imagine you did as well, you can't ignore the beautiful story being written by Iceland.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny, you know, I've seen England crash out of many a tournament in my time, and usually it's on penalties against a good team. This was actually easier to take in many ways than losing to, say, Germany on penalties because of that.
Or Portugal when David Beckham blows one wide.
Yep. That one, thanks for reminding me.
Welcome.
That one as well.
No problem.
You know, it's because it's this fairy tale run, so to speak, but that's a bit patronizing to Iceland. I mean, we all know how tiny this country is and what they've done and where they've come from, but they are a legit good team. This isn't a fluke now. They've been playing good soccer now for a couple of years at least, and in qualifying, they beat the Dutch. They got past Turkey as well. So they are a very, very good team, but the bottom line is this is a tiny country, smaller than Mississauga, for example, really only began taking it seriously about 10, 11, maybe 12 years ago. And they've gone on this run, and they believe in themselves. And you see the fans in the stands and that chanting and the passion on the field. Now, this is a nightmare for all those analytics guys out there, advanced stats guys, because it makes no sense. This team really, really believes in themselves. They have no fear. There's no pressure now. It's all gravy for them, really, what they're doing at this point. So it's a great sporting story, if nothing else.
It's very Leicester City-esque, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what I love about it, even though they beat England yesterday. One of the things that was impressed upon me during the game, one of the announcers said, you know, you look at the English players coming off the pitch. Every single one of those guys is a premier player for his team, his or her club team. Iceland with, you know, very few. And to give it even more perspective, the team's manager quit yesterday. England's manager quit. He makes $4.6 million a year coaching that team. And the manager, I had heard, and I could be wrong, of Iceland makes roughly about $125,000 a year, and he's a part-time dentist. Is there any truth to that?
I'm not sure he's a part-time dentist. Lars Lagerbäck, actually, has been a pretty good manager for a number of years in Sweden as well. But he's certainly not, you know, a high-profile manager making lots of money. And that's the thing with the England job. Roy Hodgson, like you said, the highest-paid manager at all of Europe. And these players are multi-millionaires. You know, they're treated like kings. And that, people are saying, that's kind of been the issue with England for a number of years. They don't quite have the same pride putting on that shirt as other nations. You watch the Irish play or the Welsh play or even the Italians, but they put that shirt on and they grow 3 or 4 inches. You know, it's incredible what that does to them, whereas England players seem to shrink when they put those shirts on. I'm not sure if it's all about national pride or whatever, but for sure, the Icelandic people love themselves. They know who they are. And you see the way their team plays. I saw a stat yesterday. Apparently, about 99% of Iceland watched that game. 99%. You know, I mean,
I believe on the same television.
Right. I mean, it was one bar. I think it was one bar.
Was the other 1% in a coma?
Yeah, it was the dog and the peasants. The dog and the peasants in Reykjavik. I think is where they all watched it. So, I mean, they really have really embraced this. I mean, they've seen nothing like it before.
Yeah.
So I think we should just cheer them on as long as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful story and one that's easy to eat if you're an England fan as well. Another bit of a surprise, too, I guess, Italy advancing past champion Spain 2-0 yesterday, and Italy not favored to be in the position. They're also off to the quarters with Iceland and Germany awaiting them in the quarterfinals. Germany still the same team that won the World Cup, or does Italy have a chance? Azzurri, baby.
There's definitely a chance. I mean, it's funny, I'm looking at Germany play so far in this tournament, and then mirroring what they did at the World Cup, and that's a pretty slow group phase where they looked okay but not great. And then in the round of 16 of the World Cup, they only beat Algeria after extra time. They really struggled in that one. And Germany looked pretty good in their last game. They were definitely getting better and better. They'll be the favorites for sure, but Italy, I think, have definitely arrived and told us all that they're not as bad as many people thought they were. Yeah, they defend better than anyone in this tournament, but they also attack pretty well when they want to as well. And their manager, Antonio Conte, who's going to Chelsea in the Premier League as of August, is, you know, arguably the best manager at this tournament. Tactically, he got it spot on against a very good Spain team. So Germany should be favourites, but honestly, if Italy win that one, it's not a huge shocker.
James, looking ahead to the first quarterfinal match, Poland and Portugal, is there a team that's playing worse that's in the quarterfinals in Portugal?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I mean, that game on Saturday, if you watched it, I feel for you. I wasted 2 hours. It was as poor a sporting event as I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I believe Sid from Tim and Sid, Sid Sixero, tweeted the real loser of that game was soccer.
Yeah, in the world. It was just awful.
Yeah.
Two teams that just didn't want to lose. They didn't really care how they won. They'd be quite content to take it all the way to penalties. There was no attack. The passing was dreadful. There was no intensity. It was awful. So Portugal, yeah, they've kind of crawled into the quarterfinals, but they have that potential to really, you know, blow it open here. And they've probably got a pretty, it's not easy, Poland's a pretty good team, actually. But they'll be quite happy, I'm sure, with that matchup. But yeah, you're right. They're definitely not in form, and nor is Cristiano Ronaldo.